Hi, Bee Culture listeners. I'm Jim Tew. I'm reading the article that I presented in the May 2023 issue of Bee Culture magazine. I've entitled the piece, Bee Yards Come and Bee Yards Go. An apiary location is really just for the moment. Listeners, this is an unusual topic, bee yards that I no longer have. Old abandoned bee yards have played a major part in my personal beekeeping history and development. These yards are like old, departed friends. I'm sure many of you have your old bee yard memories too. I'm not special in this regard. As the years have passed, I have steadily cut both the number of hives I manage and the number of yards that I keep those hives in. Throughout my career, I estimate that I have had, at one time or another, about 45 to maybe as many as 60 permanent bee locations. At my peak, with help, I maintained about 16 different locations. Now I've reduced my yards to only two apiaries, both reasonably near me. Yep, that's quite a change for me. My emotional attachment to some of these phased-out bee yards has surprised me. These locations have names that are totally meaningless to you, but they've been a part of my life for years. The Metz Yard, the Shreve Yard, the Chipley Yard, the County Home Yard, Matt Yard, and the Fredericksburg Yard are some of the many names of places that have now reverted to non-bee areas. Specifically, the Matt Yard and the Fredericksburg Yard were the locations that I personally established as a brand new entomology professor at Ohio State in 1978. It seems impossible that I had some of these locations for 40-plus consecutive years and then only to close them out. As a young man, I guess I just assumed that these yards would somehow continue forever. In the case of the Metz Yard, it was located off of Metz Road, right here in Worcester, Ohio. At that location, through the years, I survived stuck trucks, swarms, American fowl brood, tall grass, the introduction of mites, and groundhogs. But on the positive side, we made a lot of honey in that yard. Being located near a stand of pines, I and my help would gather bags of pine needles for subsequent use to meet our smoker fuel needs. At the time, that yard was a major part of my beekeeping psyche. We were there so long and so many years past that the senior Mr. Metz died, requiring us to get permission from Mr. Metz's surviving son to continue the use of the yard. He allowed us to stay, so I passed into my second generation at this location. Then, after decades of use, I finally gave it up too. Where is all this reminiscing going? Eliminating these yards made me realize that I've evacuated far, far more yards than I will ever again maintain. Yet each of these now abandoned locations was, for a while, a part of my beekeeping life. Stories and bee events came and went. Now nothing of a bee nature remains at these locations. In fact, there's only a very few people who could even remember the hives were ever even there. But that's okay. It's only important to me anyway. I got a lot of memories of some of these long-gone yards. Not all of those memories are specifically my yards, but they all contributed to my beekeeping memories. I want to give you some examples. The Unit 2 yard. The reason for the clumsy name is unimportant to you and me now. But that long-gone Beelis yard has several significant memories for me. You see, it was in this yard that I had the very personal experience of having a mouse run up the inside of my pant leg as I was removing supers from a hive. I have relived that story probably hundreds of times at meetings across the country, and I choose not to relive it here again, but you can believe that I will never forget the experience that I had in that yard, and I doubt the mouse will ever forget it either. Reason for giving up the Unit 2 yard pesticides? The yard was located near university field plots, and every year the hives located there were seriously damaged by pesticide kills. You know, I now wonder, in light of decreased pesticide use, if a younger beekeeper could reoccupy that location. The Eck Yard. Mr. Clarence Eck, and listeners, that's spelled E-C-K. Mr. Clarence Eck was a grand old beekeeper in Worcester for many years. He was keeping bees long before I moved here. He's no longer with us. But he and others, including Jim Thompson, a frequent contributor to Bee Culture and a longtime beekeeping friend, initiated a small beekeeping workshop for helping new beekeepers. Just this past March, the 44th annual version of this workshop, with hundreds of people in attendance, was conducted. Mr. Eck's home yard and the one in which he conducted early beekeeping classes was north of Worcester, and that yard, as you might expect, is now gone. Reasons for Mr. Eck giving up this apiary site? Here's an unusual reason. Concerns from the local Ford Motor Company dealership, in a way, commercial encroachment, but concerns from that dealership was the reason for abandoning the yard. Many years ago, the then new dealership simply could not figure out where all the birds were coming from that defecated on their fine new cars. It took them a while to figure out that it was bees, not birds. But when they did figure out that it was bee poop on their cars, under threat of a lawsuit, a historical bee yard location was forced to pass into oblivion. The sawmill yard. In fact, the sawmill and the bee yard are now both gone. About 38 years ago, I wrote a series of articles for the old Gleanings in Bee Culture under the masthead, The Solitary Beekeeper, from experiences that I had in this yard. It was from this apiary that I took my best friend to the hospital emergency room after he had a systemic reaction to multiple bee stings. His tongue was swollen and had become bluish. It was a frightening event. He recovered in good order, but he won't ever forget that yard, and neither will I. The yard was located on the property of a large, creepy, abandoned state mental hospital. While moving bees past midnight one dark, quiet night, I inexplicably became spooked. One of those sixth sense things. Listeners, I just couldn't talk myself out of the threatening feeling. After trying to ignore it, trying to work, I finally gave up. I unhooked the bee trailer from the truck. I left some of the hives open and in disarray, and I abandoned the scene. When I returned the next day, nothing, nothing. No Bigfoot, no monsters, no nothing. I recently did a podcast describing this recollection of my events that night. At that location, nothing now remains there but memories. Reasons for giving up the sawmill yard? I simply had too many American fowl brood outbreaks there and agricultural encroachment. The yard is now a soybean field, and the sawmill building is standing there derelict. The Chipley Yard. During the 1980s, I kept a yard of about 80 hives of Ohio State bees in Chipley, Florida. That's in the Panhandle area of Florida. At the time, I had a thriving international beekeeping program made up of people who wanted to learn a lot more about migratory beekeeping. I wintered OSU bees in Florida, and I produced springtime queens there. I have many, many memories of driving trucks to Florida loaded with palletized bees, dead tired, stressed, but being a real migratory beekeeper. It was a spectacular amount of work. It was a young person's job. No one ever got hurt. We kept good bees, and we all had a good experience. To this day, this yard makes up the bulk of my migratory beekeeping experience. I have a lifelong collection of memories of stuck trucks and dark nights from this yard. As usual, I wrote about my experiences. Reasons for giving up the Chipley Yard. The bee program became redirected. The transportation cost of making the run to Florida and back. And ironically, mud. Frequently throughout the season, the location simply was inaccessible due to standing water and deep mud. I understand that watermelons are now planted there, where our bee yard was once located. There were multiple Ohio State University bee yards that I didn't always have a relationship with, but I certainly knew about them. I don't even know how to review all these yards that have come and gone at Ohio State University during the last 60 to 80 years. One of the most famous was stunningly near the football stadium. I have a photo of that in the article. If I put bees that close to that stadium today, people would freak out. But in the 1940s, it seemed to be fine. As an aside, listeners, I had a chance to talk to the university president many years ago. I showed him the photograph that I had and asked him if I could put bees there again. He saw the humor in it and immediately told me no, that there would be no bee yard put back there again. The first bee yard here in Worcester at the research center where I worked is now a parking lot that I frequently drive past. While looking at several hundred cars in that parking lot, who would ever believe that it was once a grassy bee yard? Reasons for giving up? Various Ohio State yards was almost always civilization encroachment in nearly every case. The Bee Barn Yard. In an earlier life, the Bee Barn was a university swine facility, and then it was repurposed as a turkey facility. Then in later life, after a thorough steam cleaning, it became the Bee Barn. It had everything, even a restroom, and was partially heated, and it was absolutely filled with 80 years of beekeeping equipment and supplies and memories. In 2010, a tornado utterly destroyed it completely. Today, nothing remains of the bee barn, the bee yard, or any of the equipment that it stored. It's now an open, grassy field. Nothing but memories remain. So why did we abandon the bee barn yard and the bee barn? Because it was utterly destroyed by tornadic weather conditions, both the facility and the hives. I give before and after pictures, and I got to tell you, just between you and me, that after all these years, it's still very painful for me to look at. My oldest remaining yard. I've kept bees at the back of my home property for about 44 consecutive years. Indeed, one of the primary reasons I moved north of town here was to be able to keep bees on my own property. from that apiary, I've produced multiple videos. I've written tens and tens of articles, made several thousand photos, and produced podcasts like this one. I have sat in that yard watching my bees, I don't know, thousands of hours. It was my haven during the COVID pandemic. It continues to be my private, quiet place, but not for long. Now, as I've written in previous articles, within 20 feet of my hives, a new housing subdivision with multiple housing units is being built this summer. Heretofore, the area behind me was a soybean field. The access road to the division will be hardly 10 feet from where some of my hives are currently located. It doesn't matter that I was here long before the housing project. I will surely get complaints from construction people and subsequent homeowners. Think back for a minute. Do you recall Mr. Eck, the Worcester beekeeper who I wrote about earlier in this piece? He had a bee yard behind his house, too, just like me, but his was even closer to his home. Then the city of Worcester built a grade school on the property that joined the rear of his house. I don't know for how long, for sure, 20, 30 years, Mr. Eck, the bees, and the school kids all lived together agreeably. Only a common agricultural wire fence separated them. As I said earlier, Mr. Eck has now passed and his bees have been sold. And ironically then, just recently, the school was permanently closed. A Caribou coffee shop stands on the location now. In this case, everything is gone. The beekeeper's home, the bees, the school. But for many, many years, that was a hive hot spot. And when I drive by the Caribou coffee shop, I cherish the memories. But listeners, times have changed. And in my case, I don't think that I can have bees so near new homes that could possibly have children, especially the curious ones who go exploring. So, yes, I'm making plans to move my colonies until the construction phase passes. It seems that in my life, no bee yard location is sacred. But again, times have changed. I'm now much older. In the past, I kept more than 20 hives in my backyard. And honestly, that was far more than I should have had there. But I looked out. Nothing ever happened. I no longer want that many colonies there. Maybe, just maybe, I can put 2 to 3 colonies there again when this project with the housing construction is finished. I've already got some fencing up, and I could, I suppose, even install some more. So, beekeepers, there's some humor here, I think. Due to aging and passing time, I have reduced my apiary locations to only 2 sites. 2. Of those remaining 2 locations that I now have, one is having housing property built right up under me, and the other site is apparently home to a roving bear that destroyed one of my colonies this past year. I feel comfortable saying that presently I have 0 good locations. None. Bee yards are weird like that. They're good for a while, and then they're not good at all. I guess I could say that here's the truth. If you've hung on to this point, you must have figured out that I'm writing this piece, I'm reading this piece to you, as much for me as it is for you. I must have several hundred slides and digital photos of various beekeeping events and yards that are now completely beeless. Most of these pictures recall good memories of bee times gone. Though not the only reason, but a primary reason for me evacuating most of the yards that I have left was some kind of encroachment. Not just urbanization. In some cases, farmers wanted to put their land back into cultivation. For example, the watermelons in Chipley, and the soybeans in Ohio. The Ford dealership causing Mr. X's yard to be moved is an instance of commercial encroachment, and I'm now experiencing housing encroachment. Secondly, a common reason for giving up yards was accessibility. Mainly mud, but many times narrow gates that would trap my B truck. Here's the oddity. I have never once left a yard because of a lack of bee food sources or limited water supplies or damaging frost pockets or because my hives couldn't be faced to the east or some such. I left all these locations because of encroachment, mud, and in a single case, pesticides. It doesn't help that I'm aging. I gave up some locations for that reason. They were just too hard to get to. But you should know, when I pass by these abandoned apiary sites, I usually have a look and I think the thought, I used to have bees there. A bee yard, I guess, could be said is a bit like the circus coming to town. Lots of planning, activity, work, memories, and then it's gone. Some yards last much longer than others, but sooner or later, all bee yards give it up, only to become memories for unique people like you and me. So you just wait. You just wait. If you keep bees long enough, you're going to get your own abandoned yard memories too. Hey, shake them off. No doubt, right now you should be out in your present yard doing bee stuff. So just let the future take care of itself. It'll be fine. Hey, thank you for listening. I'm Jim Tew. I enjoy talking to you. Bye-bye.